Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today. Kind of the dullness is back again. Yesterday was a lovely bright day. We kind of all had a big smile on our face probably. The sunshine has a habit of trying to do that to us as well, doesn't it? But let's hear from Psalm 27 as we begin this morning. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" A promise of God right at the very beginning today. And if we trust in him, we can trust in all of his promises from beginning to end. Let's pray together as we begin. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to gather. The opportunity to gather as commanded by you. The opportunity to set time aside to focus on you. The opportunity to hear your word read and proclaim to lay before you the burdens of our hearts, for ourselves, for our community, for our world. We know that you're present with us, and we pray that your presence with us will be a mighty and a powerful act of transformation for each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's reading is 1 Kings 19:1-9. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judea, he left his servant there, while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night.
So we continue this series today on faith journeys. And you'll see a little bit later on about our reading and how that fits in to all of this. But today we look at the faith story of Elijah, the faith journey, if you like, of Elijah. And the question I want to ask today is this: How do we hear? How do we hear? Your ears. How many ears have you got? Two. That's right. Now, my granny used to look at me and say, "God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a very good reason, young man." But we hear with our ears. Can everyone hear? No. Some people are born deaf. Some people gradually over a period of their life go deaf. Some husbands are voluntarily deaf at certain parts of the day whenever they're asked to do things. And we often use that phrase, don't we, about hearing things or not hearing things properly. So what kind of devices help us to hear? What do we use to hear? A hearing aid, okay. Not all of us use hearing aids. We use our ears to hear, I know that. Not all of us use hearing aids, yeah. Anything else that we use to hear? Lip reading, okay, yeah, so somebody can lip read and they can hear the words, even though they can't hear them, they can see them and understand them and hear them. Earphones, yes. So you have lots of people, the vast majority of people who now go for a walk seem to wear earphones or earplugs or some description in their ears, listening to podcasts and music all of the time. Any other devices that we use to hear? The volume control, and we can turn it up or down, can't we? sometimes we have to turn it up a little bit because the noise around us is too much, or maybe we're not able to hear as well. Sometimes we turn the volume control, or we'd love to turn the volume control down on some people. Can I say that from the front? Do you know, but the volume control goes both ways, doesn't it? We use phones to hear as well, don't we? So we hear each other from a distance through radios or CBs or phones or whatever way you want to think about that. And later on, the bit that, of that passage that Julie didn't read for us today is from verse 11 through 13. And it's after, we'll come to that bit at the beginning a little bit later on, but that part where Elijah then goes out and he's standing. Verse 11 says, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain, and the presence of the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountain, and it shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And there was a great earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came the fire, but he was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Sometimes to hear properly, we have to drown out all the other noise around us, don't we? Turn that volume control down. Drown out all the other noises around us and simply listen in the stillness and in the quietness. We can shout. We can speak. We can whisper. I remember whenever Rebecca was much, much younger and was in P1. And her P1 teacher had a great phrase that she said to all of her class, and it was this: "That's your outside voice. Use your inside voice." And outside, she would have said, "That's your inside voice. Use your outside voice." And really what she's trying to say, at certain times in our lives, in certain spaces, in certain situations, we use different volumes to communicate. Because we have to use different volumes so that other people can hear us appropriately. And so in the midst of all the turmoil, whenever Elijah was looking for God and all these big things, God came in the still, small voice, the gentle whisper. Because Elijah quietened himself right the way down so that he could begin to hear everything that was being said. As he drowned out all the other noise around him, he could still hear that one distinct voice. So how do we need to hear God today? What noises do we need to drown out to enable us to hear his voice and what he has to say to us? So these faith journeys that we've been speaking about over the last number of weeks, we've done them through Lent because Lent's that period of reflection, of preparation, of spiritual renewal. We've looked at Abraham's journey of faith and obedience, how he was called to leave his country, take his people and step out into a new place. He didn't even know where it was. We looked at the Exodus journey of Moses, about deliverance and trust. Doesn't mean that we're not to do anything, but we're to be still and let God, and recognize God's hand and God's purpose and what he needs to do. But we have a part to play too. And today, as we've already heard, we look at this Elijah's journey, a journey of renewal, an encounter, a time whenever he came feeling exhausted and discouraged. He journeyed into the wilderness. And that seems to be a part of all of these journeys in many ways, that they disappear into the wilderness. It's almost as if the biblical writers are showing the wilderness as a place of desolation, a place where it's the hardest to be, if you like. And so that applies into our lives, doesn't it? That often we find ourselves in those difficult places, in those hard places, and it's in those places that we can seek God. There are sheets at the back for any of the children who want to do any of those activities today as well. I forgot to say that earlier. And it's in these moments of discouragement and exhaustion that Elijah encounters the living God. He doesn't do us or encounter him in the dramatic ways that we often imagine, actually. Actually, sometimes preachers like me, church leaders like me, are often very guilty at getting people to the front and sharing stories that are dramatic. Stories that make a big impact. But often, if we read through the scriptures and if we went with a roving mic today and spoke to any of you, many of your journeys are slower. They're journeys that have taken a period of time to walk with God. Elijah didn't find God in the earthquake wind or the fire. He found him in the gentle, small voice, as we talked about a few moments ago. See, in 1 Kings 19, verse 3, which is part of what Julie read for us, it said, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom brush, and he sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I've heard enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than any of my ancestors. Then he lay down and fell asleep. That's raw. That's real. Sometimes people say the Bible never speaks of these things. But we're not reading the parts of the Bible that do. I'm honest, I kind of had it all planned out, the series, and thought about it and all of that. It didn't click with me that today was an all-in service. But I felt that God had something in that, because actually our culture around us talks about these things all the time over everybody. And so we need to allow the scriptures to speak into that over each one of us as well, no matter our age. Dealing with these words about despair and isolation and depression, but yet the Lord is present. The Lord is there. It's just that Elijah was looking in the wrong place for him. He is present. Like we've just sang, you're everywhere. Verse 5 says, then Elijah, he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. And at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there his head was some bread and baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank and then he lay down again. And his Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. God is present all around us, and he brings what we need, even in those moments of despair and isolation. He revitalizes the body and the soul. I've shared this story before, but I really felt I should share it again. Whenever I grew up, whenever I was growing up, living in that council house, the stairs going down were quite tight before you hit your... I never hit my head off that bit, as you can imagine. But that wee head covering that was above where the stairs were, like the cubby hole was off one of the bedrooms. My mother had sort of, crocheted is the wrong word. Thank you. Embroidered a picture. And it says, no need to grumble or complain. God sends the sunshine after the rain. Whenever we came down the stairs, whenever I came down the stairs and sat down at the breakfast table and maybe in a right wee hump because I was a teenager and I was not feeling myself and I was too early in the morning and all of those things, my mum would have said, away back up the stairs and take a wee look up, would you? Putting things into perspective. So I remember one morning I went up, read it, came back down again, and it really hadn't changed much of my attitude as I sat back down at the table. I remember her saying, you need to go back up again and look up. And I said, I've already looked up. And she says, no, you need to go back up again and look up. And so in those moments whenever we don't feel ourselves, there's moments whenever we feel that everything inside of us is all out of sorts, those moments where anxiety can spiral into despair and despair can spiral and so forth, we need to remember to look up. Because renewal often comes after honest lament. And Lent is a time of lament. What is lament? Lament is a moment where we pour it all out before God, where we lament everything that is wrong. That's the first 5 verses of this chapter. Elijah was pouring his lament, his honesty out before God and saying, I can't hack this no more, Lord. Brutally honest. Because you know what? The God that we worship is bigger than anything that we can throw at him. That's why renewal often comes in honest lament and rest. Whenever we sit back, as we heard from Moses, and let God. And a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains apart, and he shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out, and he stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. God renews and restores whenever we honestly seek and ask of him, even in our weakness. In fact, it's only in our weakness. The Apostle Paul said, his grace is sufficient for you, for his strength or his power is made perfect in your weakness. So this question is for me, as it is for you. How honest are we before God in seeking that he would restore our souls? Let's pray together. Father, help us. Help us in our weakness, in our feelings. Help us in our prejudices. Help us wherever it is that we need to help. And as we open ourselves before you, we know that we find nothing lacking in your presence. So be amongst us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. But as we conclude today, we hear the verse for this week, the verse that we'll memorize this week. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He'll never let the righteous be shaken. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.